Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, for listening to the show. You know, The Mortgage Voice, we can be seen on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, you can check us out, as well as many, many shows, both on The Mortgage Voice, and also we do a weekly, daily Mortgage Minute, and that's on LinkedIn and YouTube and all kinds of different social media sites. So if you go and see any of these different programs, sign up, check in, make sure that you like what you see, and you click on the button that says, I like it. Why? Because other people need to see this information, hear this information. It's important. It's for you. And thank you very much. Again, I'm Jeff Barton, and thank you very much for tuning into the show. I'm wearing a hat today that says, Be Here Now. I think that is a watchword for the entire first quarter of 2022. Why do I say that? Because what's happening in rates, what's happening at the treasuries, what's happening in mortgage-backed securities, what's happening in China, what's happening all over the place that speaks to whether you're going to have a housing affordability problem or whether you're going to have finding a house be the problem. All of these things are really, you got to settle in on what's happening right now. So today, what are the rates today? Because that's really what's going on. Okay, 3.66, 2.92 is the 15-year. 3.33 is FHA. 3.31 is the jumbo. And 3.60 is the 5-1 ARM. All of these rates have gone up, as everybody knows. Everybody's who's watching or is in the market trying to buy a house or refinance a house, take some of that equity that they've got in their property out and put it in the bank. What is happening with that is that obviously the mortgage rates are going up and they're going to continue to go up, but albeit not as fast as they did in the first 3-4 weeks. Now, 2 years ago, let's say prior to COVID, right before March 13th or 15th, whenever that was in 2020, we saw the markets dip in January, meaning that the rates went up. Meaning that the market itself wasn't doing great because rates went up. And rates went up about a half a point January of 2020, if everyone drifts back and finds that out. Now, during COVID, we had the Fed step in. There was a lot of stimulus. There was a lot of money floating around. This wasn't just in the U.S. This was in the entire world. And what that did is it kept interest rates for mortgages and mortgage borrowing at historically low rates, and they had remained and have remained there until recently when inflation kicked up, and then everyone started worrying about inflation more than they were worrying about whether their neighbor had a job or whether they had money to eat. As everyone remembers, when the world shut down, and by the way, we're going through some phases of that all over, whether it be in Australia. If anybody's watching the Australian Open, you'll see that Djokovic wasn't allowed in the country because of his COVID anti-vaccine stance. I'm not political, but that country did that because they're worried about COVID, so they're basically shutting down portions of their economy as they are in the U.S. in certain cities. Mask mandates being what they are have now been sort of thrown out the window because the federal judge said no to mask mandates for businesses, and states and federal government are also fighting people who are suing them. All of this means that COVID may be around a lot longer and affecting our economy more and more as we continue to go along. Now, maybe it'll be less and less. I'm hoping so, because I'm kind of sick of wearing this mask and I'm sick of the whole thing, to be honest with you. That's why the Be Here Now slogan for the show today is very, very important. Let's concentrate on exactly what it is that we can do about what we have in front of us. So let's look at housing inventory, down 2.4% from last week. This is a national number, of course, that I got off the NAR website. So if we're declining in terms of availability, this time of year you do that anyway, right? Nobody buys in winter, at least that's the philosophy. So people pull their homes off the market, and there are fewer properties of the year on the market in January. So if you're out there and you're trying to buy a house, you know that rates are going to go up. So you're anxious to get it done now. Problem is, there's not enough out there inventory-wise. So you're forced to spend on a property you don't really want and more than you don't really want to have. So as a result of that, and look at that, they're calling now. They can't stop. It's too much. They want more information. Oh, it's okay. Anyway, some of the guests that we have on the show, they have lives too. Can you imagine that? We ask somebody to come on the show, and we're figuring it's the most important thing in their lives. Well, it's not. And one of the things that I think the Be Here Now philosophy is that you got to take everything a little bit less serious, at least in the first quarter of this year when it comes to your finances, when it comes to trying to get a house, when it trying to get the lowest rate possible, because everything is in flux. It's not in a disastrous flux. For instance, we talk about inflation. Now, I've talked about it on this show, and I've given the flip side to good inflation versus bad inflation on previous shows and on the daily show that we do. And it's the same thing with the availability of properties. Yes, properties are very expensive, but when rates go up, you will see that prices will come down. It's going to take some time because sellers usually take 3 to 6 months to get the feeling that their property is priced too high, i.e. they've got to lower the price. But as people don't buy, inventory increases, and that, of course, also drives the price down because supply and demand being what it is, if there's a lot more supply, prices will come down, and that's a good thing as well. And I think that will also happen this year. The Fed is obviously tapering. They're ending the mortgage-backed security purchase. They're ending the treasury purchase. These are good things. A couple other things that they are doing, they're raising the rate, and they're going to do that in March. Taper will end in June. Is that right? Well, maybe the taper will end in March, and the rates will rise in March. Now, that's the Fed funds rate that they offer to their member banks, and in turn, the raising of that rate gets passed on to customers of those banks in the form of higher rates for loans. And the sell-off of the Fed assets, these three things that are happening, the Fed, as you know, has been buying mortgage-backed securities and treasuries, stimulus. We used to call it quantitative easing, but regardless, on their balance sheet is about $8.5 trillion worth of bonds and mortgage-backed securities, the assets of which they are now going to let expire and bleed out, meaning that the money that is in the system itself will get sucked up by all of these three items, thus hoping, and it's more than hope, it's more a way that they did it in the last time that there was this kind of inflation. So the 7% inflation that we currently see on month to month, which we will see, by the way, that's what they're telling us, for a couple, three, four months. By June, July, we will see a lot of these clogged up problems that we have with supply. And the tightening of the Fed with these three things I just mentioned start to lower inflation. And that inflationary spiral will really help you if you've gotten a raise. Obviously, inflationary is part of the wage growth that we talked about. We will see wage growth actually improve lives rather than inflation eating away at that. And again, probably in mid-June, mid-July. And by that time, guess what? That's 6 months after we have seen the rates rise, and hopefully we'll see more properties on the market. So the Be Here Now philosophy is maybe you have to be a little bit patient, wait for the property to come, look for properties that are within your price range as opposed to trying to stretch. Nobody wants to stretch too far because that puts you in a financial position where you just don't want to be paying 50% of your monthly income on your mortgage. That just doesn't make any sense. This is what the Be Here Now philosophy is. A couple of things about property raise, property prices themselves. Oh, we're up against it. Okay, so I'm Jeff. I'm your mortgage host here on The Mortgage Voice. I've been doing this about 8-9 years now. Really appreciate everybody who's given us feedback on what we do and how we do it. We do it on a number of different stations and certainly a number of different podcasts. We will see you right back. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And again, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Thanks very much for listening each and every week. You can catch us on the radio. We are on several radio stations in several different places, whether it's up in Albuquerque or down in Las Vegas, Nevada, up in Lake Tahoe or in Southern California. bunch of radio stations. You can catch us. Also, you can see the show on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, you can see this show as well as all the guests that come on. If you need to see somebody that you want to see again, go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, and you can see it. We also are on a number of different podcasts, 10 different podcasts, as a matter of fact. So you can see us when you want to, as opposed to when we are on the air. Thanks very much again. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. You know, we bring to the show a lot of great people. And one of the great people that talks about financial stability and how to guard your future is a guy named Terrell Robinson, Big Tex, we call him. He's from TDR Financial, and we welcome him now. Tex, how are you?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for having me on. Truly a pleasure.
Thank you very much, and thanks for coming on, too. I haven't talked to you in a while. I just wanted to get caught up to what's happening with you personally and what's going on with TDR.
You know what? Personally, Jeff, after that COVID, that little COVID scare back in July,
yes,
we've turned some things around, and we've mentally turned some things around, physically turned some things around, and then we're back on track, man. We're back on track, and we are just trailblazing away. As far as the company, we've expanded, and we've actually done some phenomenal things here at the company, brought on some agents in about, I would say, Texas, Florida, Georgia, Seattle, Washington State, California, and Nevada. So we're expanding, and we've even transformed into a new service that has allowed our clients to take full control of their monies and of their financially owned economy. So it's been great, man. It's been great.
Okay, so let's talk products. I know that usually when we talk about life insurance, of course, as being one of the vehicles by which you can protect assets as well as pass assets along, and there are a lot of benefits to the products you talked about. Tell us about that and maybe get into some of the newer things you're doing.
Okay, yes. Life insurance, see, the oldest form of wealth is real estate out there. That's the oldest form.
Right.
The other form of wealth, and the least expensive form of wealth, is life insurance. So a lot of people don't do that because they don't see it that way. But what we have done is one of the products that we used to actually help our clients with was the Index Universal Life product.
Okay.
But now, doing a deep dive and research, seeing what the wealthy people have been doing for the last couple hundred years, is a whole life insurance product through a mutual company. Very important. It is described as the infinite banking concept.
Okay.
Now, imagine now if you've done this product and services the right way, imagine being able to pay off all your debt, including your mortgage, in 9 years or less. That's what my clients are able to do now.
Well, that's...
And
go ahead.
You have full control of your money. You have access to your money now. You don't have to wait until 59 and a half. And you're protected against a pandemic or negative marketed. You can't be sued by creditors and predators. And this is how you get your children and grandchildren started off. So when they go off to college, you know what? There is no issues in regards to taxes if they decide not to go to college.
Right.
So it's just been a phenomenal thing. I've been interviewed on NBC News and CNBC Financial here recently. Because of, in the last 6 years, we haven't had a client lose not one penny. But most importantly, our clients are being able to retire tax-free within 20 years. Tax-free income for life.
Okay, now that is some amazing promise. That you can get your clients from here to there in 20 years. Most people thinking, I got to work 40 years to get a gold watch and a kick out the door. Explain a little bit more. You know what I mean? Explain a little bit more about how you do that.
Okay, so the most effective way to do it is when we sit down, we do a financial needs analysis with the client. What is coming in, what is going out? Well, advisors in my position where we have gone wrong is we say, hey, Jeff, your monthly expenses are $3,000 a month, but can you come up with another $300, $400, $500 a month in order to do this awesome plan that we've laid out before you? And you're like,
right.
I mean, if I get a little bit of overtime, if I cut back on this, if I
right.
cut back on that, it
right.
puts strain on clients. Because you notice when the economy shifts, and let's say work get, you know, work doesn't have all the hours, the first thing people cut is their life insurance.
I
so
see.
What if we can show you how to redirect the traffic and build all that without you spending out any extra money that you're currently already spending? I call it hunting. Hunting for the money. So Jeff now pays, Jeff has a car note that's $400 a month, but he pays $550 a month. Let's take $50 away. You're giving the finance company too much money. Let's redirect that to the Barton Family Bank.
Okay.
Credit card is $100 a month, but you're paying $200 a month. Let's take away $100 because eventually we're going to be able to pay those off. By doing so, now we have now built out a full financial program that's going to allow you and your family to survive the storm, be able to eliminate all your debt. And once you eliminate your debt, what happens? Your credit score goes up. When your credit score goes up, what else happens? You have now obtained your leverage. And once you've obtained your leverage, you are now in the position, Jeff, to purchase your new house, refinance your new house, et cetera, get the interest rates lower, all of those things. That's what you want to do. And so once you're completely done, Jeff, now you can say, hey, I want to be able to retire. See, the companies we use are mutual companies. They have millions and billions of dollars set aside in a general account that allows you to borrow from, because guess what, Jeff? The most important part is your money is collateralized.
Right.
See, when you take, you have $10,000 in a savings account and you take out $2,000, you get, hey, you got $8,000 left. What if you can put $10,000 in your savings and borrow $5,000 to still have your $10,000?
Well, you see, now that's, you got people. You're like, what? How does that work?
Exactly. That's how, that's why Mr. President Trump did not want to show his taxes. Didn't want everybody, hey.
You know, we don't get politics here. You know, we
I know it. But if people really want to know about the infinite banking concept, when you pull it up, I think, have y'all heard of someone, have y'all heard of a company or an organization by the name of Walt Disney?
Yep, we know Walt.
Well, yeah, well, Walt couldn't go into the bank and take out a loan to start Walt. So Walt had to borrow from his infinite bank. Ray Kroc, McDonald's.
Right.
J.C. Penney's. That's how he survived the storm in 1929. Jim Harbaugh, University of Michigan. So there's so many people across the field that does this that allow them to do these. So now they get to enjoy the money while they're living, and the family gets to enjoy the money when they're going home.
You know, this is such a great wealth of information. Tell people how they can get a hold of you, because it's important that you talk to them one-on-one and that they get the benefits of what you're talking about.
Absolutely, Jeff. And see, there's another thing. There is no one-size-fits-all.
Right.
But you can contact me at area code 702-751-5865. Again, that's 702-751-5865. Or you can go to financialblindside.com. That's for those that are introverts that don't want to talk to me right away, but they just want to send in their information and set a time. We can do that. Go to financialblindside.com.
Excellent. Now, listen, for people who don't know, Terrell was a football player in the National Football League, and I wanted to just diverge a little bit into what the playoffs are and what happened to your Cowboys. What happened?
Hey, not so much what happened to my Cowboys, what happened to my Denver Broncos.
Ah, well, you know, I mean, they had a rough season. There's no question about that. You know, I've enjoyed what I've been seeing, but give us your expert analysis as to what's happening currently and where we're heading in the next 30 seconds. Give us your breakdown of the NFL playoffs.
Well, on the playoffs right now, to be honest, which I was just talking to a great friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, Pat Senior.
Yeah.
They, now that the Buccaneers are eliminated, they are coming back with fierce. They are going to come back. I fully know that they're going to pull it off. You can say that right now. I fully know that they're going to win it all this year.
Okay. You heard it here first. Hey, Terrell, thanks very much. I really appreciate you coming on the show once again, and we'll talk to you
Absolutely.
Soon.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Sure. That's Terrell Big Tex Robinson, TDR Financial. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show each and every week. We come to you, we bring you information, we try to help you with some decisions. I give you the macro. The guests come on and give you the micro. Some of the micro stuff that we talk about normally is rates and programs. We often we do have an entrepreneurial section that we get to about once a quarter, and some of that has to do with how to build a business, what to do with a business once you got it. If you can take the leap from here to there, how does it help you? How does it help your family? How does it help your community? All the things like that. Our next guest is, I'm really happy to bring him back on again, Mikey Pearson. He is from Pearson Business Growth Solutions. I've known him for a long time. He's excellent at both business. He's also a local politician in Malibu, California. Mikey, how are you?
I am well, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much, and thanks very much for coming on the show. First off, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. Life is full. It's a very busy time, but I like being busy.
Okay. Let's talk first about Pearson Business Growth Solutions. I get your newsletter, obviously, every week. Enjoy it. There's a lot of good stuff in it. Tell people what it is you do and how it is that you can help their business grow.
Well, of course. So I consider myself a small business coach. All my clients at this point are under $50 million in revenue. And what I essentially do at a high level is help business owners with leadership and communication, which basically means helping establish the systems and structures to achieve their goals, and I hold them accountable to getting there. So it's kind of every client's different, and yep. Every situation's different, which I love, and it's a pretty intense process. And I'm, you know, to be honest, I love it, and I'm addicted to it, and I love helping people.
So in the processes themselves, the specific, give us a teaser on one specific item that you would nail down from the beginning that you say you hold your clients accountable for. Is it a typical sales approach where you're looking at quotas and the ways to get there, or is it more a communication style with how they either talk to their clients or talk to their coworkers or talk to their employers and employees?
Let me answer you this way. Pretty much everybody hires me because they want to sell more.
Okay.
And the second they tell me they want to sell more, I know that they're probably not ready to, or they already would be.
Right.
So I go in and discover what's going on. And typically, if they have a plan, it needs to be thought through again. They typically haven't really done the amount of goal setting that they need to. Typically, they probably need help with their leadership team and their company. So there's a number of things. Often, one of the most common things with clients is after 2 or 3 months, I really discover with them that there's somebody at the company that probably, honestly, shouldn't be there and has been there a long time. That's a very, very common thing you run into with business owners because it's really difficult that introspection on yourself when you're in the everyday grind of your business.
Do you find that businesses that start off small, mom and pop type shops, is this what you're talking about, that along the way either mom or pop's got to go because they're holding the business back?
Well, hopefully it's not mom or pop.
No,
well,
you know.
It is. It is too common. It is too common that there's a general manager or, you know, Uncle Bob, or there's somebody there who's just, you know, you're used to them being there, but, you know, you're wondering why you're frustrated, and you start to find out that as a business owner, there's things in your business that are holding you back that you just haven't dealt with.
Okay. And that is more personal than it is professional? And I guess walking people through how to deal with that is part of what you're doing?
It's a huge part of what I do. I mean, there's a way of looking at what I do is I'm a business shrink.
Okay.
I'm not going to help you with your marriage, but at the same time, I'm going to know one way or another what the status is of the rest of your life, because it impacts your everyday, no matter where you are. Your life is your life.
No, absolutely right. And I think when dealing with businesses, a lot of times, because a business owner builds it from something to, you say, let's say you're doing $3-4 million a year, and whatever your profit is after that, I mean, you're doing okay. But at some point, you have to look at it and say, okay, I need to either, you know, be happy with what I have or make some changes. And I think that's probably where people look for someone like you.
Well, that particular issue exhibits itself generally in burnout.
Okay.
You're just grinding away, but you've forgotten why you were there. You aren't scheduling time with your family. You actually just think you need to keep selling more, but you don't really know why, and you don't have a goal for it. So that's actually going to be a very big part of what I do, is help people reestablish their real goals. And it's not just the bottom line.
Right.
It's, you know, do you want to travel? Is there something else you want to do in life you're not? There can be all sorts of other things that we can discover.
Business plan. Nobody likes it. Everyone hates to do it. What essential element do you bring to the table for people who are just having a difficulty either rewriting it or writing a primary one?
I'll help them. If they don't have good metrics, if they don't have a good P&L, if they don't have a good business plan, or even if they do, we're going to go through it in detail and we're going to build it. Because without a plan, how do you manage what you're doing? How do you know if you're hitting your goals? So it's absolutely vital.
No, I like that. I like the fact that there's a lot to setting goals and trying to achieve them. I know any Fortune 500 company will do that, and you can usually just go and look at what they publish each and every year to see if they're meeting goals or not meeting goals. Part of the problem with small businesses, I too run a small business, is that there's a lot going on, and sometimes you get overwhelmed with the mundane daily aspects of the business. How do you relieve some of that for your clients to give them the ability to have perspective? Because obviously what you're saying is you don't want them working 12 hours a day. At the same time, that may be what's required.
That's actually a really good question, Jeff. Very insightful question. It depends on the business. Sometimes it means in bringing your leadership team up, bringing new people in, or hiring outside people to do some of the tasks so that you don't have to.
Right.
There's no one answer there, but if I have an ultimate goal with my clients, it's at the end of the day they become the expert in one thing, and that is running all the other experts.
Now, that's a great way to put it, and I like that aspect of it. It's not necessarily ruling over people. It's working with people who are better at it, what they're going to do than you are, but you're pretty good at keeping people together, informed, and having the team work together. I like that approach. It really makes some sense.
Well, I think there's this thought that by bringing in a lot of structure and metrics and things like that, that's going to ruin or change the company culture. But the reality is, when you have all those systems in place, it allows your company culture, no matter what it is, to flourish and for employees to feel engaged and valued. And there's, you know, really no better feeling than that, and no better impact on the bottom line.
Your work with the city of Malibu in your capacity as both mayor and city council person, do you bring a lot of these skills, obviously, to how that particular job works? What are some of the differences that you might see between working in the private sector and working in the public sector?
Well, as a city councilor, as mayor, you have to build consensus to get anything to pass. As a business owner, it can be a little different. You can make the call yourself, and ultimately, you need to hold yourself responsible for doing that as necessary. So there are pretty big differences, but understanding how consensus works and what that looks like and the
right
kind of communication skills it takes is pretty important in both.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. We're kind of running up against the clock here. I want people to get a hold of you to be able to pick your brain and obviously use your particular expertise in what they need. Could you let people know how to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I am, how do you get a hold of me? Can I just give my cell phone number out? That's my work phone.
Sure, however you want people to get a hold of you, because part of this is trying to help people
text me or call me at 310-309-0038, and I'll get back to you, and we'll just have a conversation. I don't charge for a talk or anything like that. I actually don't onboard people quickly. It has to be the right fit. So I'm more than glad to discuss anyone's business with them and spend a little time on it, because it's my passion and I love doing it.
Thank you, Mikey. That's great information. Really appreciate you coming on once again. Thanks a lot.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Mikey Pearson from Pearson Business Growth Solutions. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. Each and every week, we come to you via several different radio stations around the West and Southwest. I really appreciate the listeners in Albuquerque, up in Tahoe, in Las Vegas, and in Southern California, in San Bernardino and Riverside counties. We've been on the air for 8 years. We've been bringing information from experts in the field. We have account executives from lenders. We have loan officers. We have real estate agents. We have real estate brokers. We have appraisers. We have all kinds of people in the business, as well as people outside the business, and also people who help you develop your own business. The reason we do this is because buying a home, refinancing a home, figuring out how money works best for you is really the most important thing that you're going to do in your financial life. Obviously, life itself is really, really much more important than that. But without that, you can't really exist. You need to pay the rent or you need to pay the mortgage. You have to live somewhere. And if you want to build a family, the best way to do it here in the U.S. is to buy something and wait for it to accrue equity, as it has done over the last 2 or 3 years, and last year to the tune of about 20%. And the year before, about 20%, and the year before that about 15%. These are the national averages over the last 3 years, so you've seen your property almost go up 50% in value in 3 years. Never happens like that except in times of extraordinary inflation, I guess is what we'd say for it. But for this housing market to rise this quickly and not be in a bubble is kind of a miracle. One of the reasons that is because what we've seen during the pandemic with the flood of money that has come in from the Fed is that a lot of assets have risen in value. Some of the assets, i.e. the stock market. Anybody looking at the stock market lately? What you'll see is the value of those stocks has nothing to do with the earnings that the companies are making. They have to do with speculation, and speculation is driven by money. Money is looking for other money in order to make money. So if you drive a stock up by, hey, anybody see GameStop last year? That stock went up by 200-300%, and that company doesn't make a nickel. The difference between the stock market and the real estate market is simple. The real estate market is hard assets. Those assets aren't going anywhere, and the asset itself is worth based on supply and demand. Now, we've been short of houses for 8 to 10 years. During the last recession, the Great Recession, they called it, what happened is we had inflated values in properties because of the fact that both the appraiser and the people lending money were doing things to inflate the property value. They weren't giving it the supply and demand test. So if someone was going to say to you, this property will go up 10% a month for the next year, regardless of what you pay for it, that's what was fueling the last speculative round back in 2006, 7, and 8. This time around, it has more to do with the lack of housing, which is driving demand. It is not about speculation, which is driving demand. Now, there are certain companies that are certainly speculating, and there are certain people who speculate, i.e. flippers. I know many people in the flipping business, lend money to some of them. What that really means is I take something, it's worth this, I put money into it, fix it up, and now it's worth something else. That is a flipper. That's not speculation. That's actually a business. It's not moving money into one asset, expecting it to go up exponentially in a short period of time, selling it without doing anything. In the last recession, that's what was happening. In this go-round, when property values have risen, that's not what's going on. What would kill the real estate market in this particular time would be if we had an issue with jobs. But as everyone can see, jobs are plentiful. At the same time, unemployment is low. It's rarely happened that way. Usually you get one or the other. If jobs are plentiful, usually that means that there is an issue with employment. But that's not what's happening. Employment itself, the employment rate, I think, is below 4%, 3.9%, 3.8%. We're probably going to see very close to 3% this year by the end of the year. Some of the things that drive employment are wages. What have we really seen during the last 18 months is that if you want someone to go to work, you got to pay them more than you used to pay them. In my own company, stupid story, short story, I had several employees come to me and say, hey, we need to make more money. In California, there's actually a law that boosted wages this year. And not only hourly employee wages, these are salaried wages. So when the employees came to me, I looked at the situation and said, yes, you all deserve a raise, gave everybody a raise. And that is happening to anybody who wants to keep good employees. So if you're out there and you're looking at inflation, think wages. Do I want to make more money? I get more money. Yes. All of these things that we're talking about during the show and bringing you this kind of information gives you an insight as to what's happening in the minds of the Fed, what's happening in the minds of the people over at Treasury, and what's going on in the business world, whether it's the stock market or the real estate market. People need to make money, and they want to make money in a certain fashion. The real estate market itself is still the best hedge against inflation, as well as the best way to pass on generational wealth, or buy, hold, and sell. A lot of people do that too. So let's get to a couple of other things that I wanted to talk about in the news to use section. Let's see. I talked about this before, about the cheap Chinese exports, the population aging. I didn't talk about that. Global recessions have all been cited as behind the fall from double-digit heights of the 80s to 2% or less, meaning that inflation itself today being at 7%, we remember the 80s, not so much. That was 40-plus years ago for some of us. And we remember it simply because it was a time whereby, you know, if you wanted to get a house, you had to pay 18% on your mortgage rate. If you wanted to, you know, get gas, you had to get in a big long line. A lot of these things that happened at that time, we've been weaned off it. All this stuff that I talked about earlier in the show, cheap stuff, cheap money, and high employment, has really kept us really not spoiled, but not used to the ability to say, hey, look, this isn't as bad as we're looking at it. At the same time, we know what to do about it, and that's what the Fed is currently doing. They're raising interest rates. They're lowering the chance that we're going to be in a bubble further, and thus having the bubble burst at the same time that prices are going up. No, all of that is a bad thing. So these things that I talk about, technology is the biggest thing, I think. Technology and COVID are the two biggest things that are going to help us this year. A lot of people say that technology in the mortgage business is really driving the small entrepreneur and the small mortgage broker out of business. I disagree with that. Most borrowers who are not cookie-cutter loans, i.e. Freddie Fannie people, or who need more hand-holding through the first-time process, or who need much more of a time-conscious way to go about getting a loan, i.e. you have to shop around the products, they're going to need small independent mortgage brokers, small independent mortgage loan officers to be able to help them through the myriad of programs out there, and especially in a changing market. So all of these things that have been affecting what goes on in the mortgage industry and your choice to go out there and get a loan or get a mortgage rate that you want, the small, the independent, the guy at the bottom can help you the most. It's an unusual profession, which is why when we see bad times coming in, what in the mortgage business we call bad times is when rates go up. That's when people get fired. Oh, let me to bring that up. There's one other thing in here I want to tell you about because I saw it was very, very interesting. Where is it? I don't know where it is. It was here a second ago, and I must have left it Oh, here it is. Okay. So Stearns. Glenn Stearns started this company about 20 years ago, right? 25 years ago. He sold it recently, and then it was sold again to Guaranteed Rate. So Stearns laid off 348 of its loan originators and people in the wholesale section of the company. Stearns been around a long time, 340 people out of work. We mentioned it last time, mentioned it during the Daily Show. Several companies have been laying off people. Why? Because refi business is gone. So they've taken a business that was ostensibly an origination shop and turned it into more of a technology swipe. And that's what Guaranteed Rate did with Stearns. Stearns is out of the wholesale business. It's kind of sad. A lot of these companies that are losing great people, the great sales robbery was really salespeople losing their jobs. Happens every time we go into a downturn. Rates are going up. That's what people are looking for. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in. If you want to hear and see, you can hear and see our show anytime you want. You don't have to listen to the radio station when the show's on. Why? Because we're on podcasts, a whole bunch of them. We're on Streaker and Spreaker and Yahoo and where else? What else are we on there, Daryl?
Oh, just a bunch of good stuff.
We're on
Apple Podcast, we're on
Google Music Play, we're on
you mentioned Speaker, you Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and podclips.io.
Great, excellent. Great save, too, because I have no memory. And in preparing for the show, the last thing I do is think about where we are and what affiliates we're on. We're on five radio stations in three different states, up in Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as in Tahoe, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Love that station down there, K-Mine Country, and in KCAA and KMET in Southern California, in the San Bernardino and Riverside areas. We've had some great guests today. I really appreciate everybody coming on. We talk a lot about businesses, business development, the way people make money, how they make money. You know, here in this country, making money seems to be, I don't know, it's an occupation for many clever individuals who come up with a way by which they can do something better than the last person. And that's innovation. That's the way it works. That's the way it works here. I love that it works that way here. That's the way I built a business, several businesses over my lifetime. And I think that there is opportunity now like there's never been opportunity. And that, of course, is in many different fields that are burgeoning, opening. Even the internet is kind of new. Think about it. It's only 20, 25 years old. It's not as if we're talking about ancient industries here. So if you're out there and you're thinking about starting a business, now's a great time. COVID's going to end. It's going to end sooner than later, in my opinion. And I think that being primed for starting the next phase of whatever business is to you is a great way to get going for the next millennia. The Be Here Now philosophy is continuing. Let's talk a little bit more about the news to use section. Property rise in top 20 markets. Okay, did I mention this before? Phoenix went up 32%. Tampa went up 29%. Miami went up 26.6%. Huge numbers. Now, the national rate, year over year, property values went up 20%. What's happening to that equity? Last week, we had Lori Prejean, who is from Spring EQ. She talked about what a lot of people are doing to try to get that equity out of the house, or at least get some of that equity out of the house. You usually use a home equity line of credit or a second loan, or you can actually refi, but with the amazing rates that we've had, even still have, I mean, come on. 30-year fixed rate at 3.66, that's an amazing rate. Come on, that's just historically so low, I can't even imagine. But we were at least a point lower a year ago. So I understand, if you've got a 2.75, 2.5% rate, you want to keep that rate, then you want to get a second, or you want to get a HELOC. And that makes you able to access the equity in your home. And like I say, there's trillions of dollars of equity. Now, many people are worried that equity is going to get wiped out if there's a housing bubble. I don't see that the housing bubble exists. There are areas of the economy that there necessarily is a bubble, and I want to talk to that right now. There was a great article that I got from Reuters. There are a bunch of news services that I belong to, and I'm going to read. Please forgive me for reading this on the air, but the way they put it succinctly says how it is and why certain things are the way they are. From Reuters, today's central bankers have the unenviable task of weaning a pandemic-hit global economy off cheap money amid unprecedented sovereign debt, with asset prices inflated by years of stimulus and near zero interest rates. Now, I've been talking about this forever. We've been buying since, I don't know, the first Gulf War, cheap stuff from Walmart. Now, where does Walmart get most of their stuff? It's all made in China. So the boom that has been the Chinese economy for the past 20 to 25 years is really born out of the United States and their ability to buy cheap stuff from China. It's a synergy that's lasted for a long time. But there's a problem with that. And the problem today is coming home to roost. We can't imagine any world where stuff isn't cheap or that 2% inflation doesn't exist. Well, if you look around the world and how things are, inflation runs rampant in certain economic situations. In the situation here in the U.S., because money has been so plentiful, printing it like by the bucket loads on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis for the last, I don't know, probably the last 10 years, ever since the Great Recession of 2008. And what this does is it artificially holds the market at a place where it shouldn't be. So we're used to cheap goods, we're used to 2% inflation, and we're used to being able to get money anytime we want at a cheap rate. Those things have to go away in order to solve the inflation mess that we're currently in. So as we do that, people get mad because they don't want to pay $5 a gallon of gas. They don't want to pay an extra $100 a month in rent. They don't want to pay more in taxes. In a state like California, where I live, they're talking about health insurance for the entire state paid for by doubling the tax rate on individuals. Think about that for a second. So people got used to cheap, easy, and free. And when it wasn't like that, they wanted to blame a political person, whether it's the last guy, or whether it's this particular guy, or whether it's your state person, or whether it's the local. It isn't a political issue. It's an economic principle which has said, continue to supply money to the economy, borrowing it the whole time, kicking the can down the street in order to have somebody else stand up and say, enough is enough. Well, we have a Fed now saying enough is enough, and they're raising rates, and they're stop stimulus, and that's causing some consternation around the world. We had the Chinese, for instance, lecturing us about how they should have, that we in the U.S. should think more about the little guy. Now, these are great campaign slogans if you're a Democrat, right? Oh, yeah, we're going to champion the little guy, and we're going to try to, you know, help them by supplying them with more free stuff. This is what the right has been complaining about ad infinitum. I don't care right, I don't care left. But I can tell you that the Chinese and what they have done over the last 20 to 25 years in their real estate sector is the same thing that the U.S. did in 2008 with their real estate sector. They made the money so darn cheap. They had no oversight. They let borrowing go way out of control. So right now you have 25% of the Chinese economy relying upon the government to be able to solve the problem of over debt, too much debt, by the 25 to 30 different real estate development countries that are really wreaking havoc on that economy. Now, we don't hear about it enough because most of the people do not want to have people panicked. If you go to CNBC, if you go to Reuters, I just said, if you go to Bloomberg, if you go to Fox Business Channel, they all talk about how to make money today in the stock market or what is the issue, and they don't address the fundamental issue of borrowing too much money. So when we're talking about borrowing money to buy your home and you're talking about a rate that is still historically low, The best thing to do, which is both anti-inflationary and protection of long-term wealth, is to buy property. Property has remained a steadfast hedge against any inflationary numbers as the markets go up and down, and as the world inflation, whether it be here or in China or anywhere else, is either out of control. Now, cash, they say, is the worst thing to be in. So if you've got a lot of money and you're looking to buy a house, 20% down gets you the best rate, and you can really do yourself a favor by getting into property now. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you listening each and every week, each and every day, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.